Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone had a blessed, fun weekend. It's gorgeous weather again down here in Florida. A lot of wild stuff going on. I've been looking at what's going on with California right now with this dam overflow, and I've been trying to find some information on that. I don't know if it's if somebody actually is trying to mess with it intentionally or if it really did start having legitimate erosion, Dad. What'd you think about that? I know you saw some of that today, too.
Well, yes. Charles, a good friend of mine, Charles and Kathleen, live in that area outside of Sacramento. And he was telling me 2 weeks ago, because of all the rain they've been having this winter, that there's a real possibility that the dams aren't going to be able to hold, and they've been releasing huge amounts of water from the spillways just to try to compensate. This is what happens when they release the chemtrails off the coast of California, and they actually allow normal weather cycles to resume, or if they're actually trying to make it rain more there. Because, you know, the Hoover Dam, that whole complex there, had the water was down over 100 feet. The California, some of these reservoirs had completely dried up. So I don't know what in the world the globalists were thinking. I don't know why they stopped spraying the chemtrails to keep that high pressure zone parked out in the Pacific. Have no idea why they're doing any of this crazy stuff, except they're all a bunch of weirdos and we don't like them. That I know for sure, Austin. But this is from the Daily Mail, and it says, California prepares for catastrophe. Battle to stop a collapse at America's tallest dam at 200,000 residents flee amid fears of a 100-foot depth deep flood that could stretch for 40 miles. Fears the Ordovo Dam could collapse beneath unleashing flooding, which could leave these towns under huge amounts of water. All 23,000 of the California National Guard have been put on standby. Federal and state officials rejected concerns that the dam would be under threat from rain 12 years ago. Water levels reached 50-year high, is what Charles was telling me, after rainfall and threatened citizens living near the massive dam. The extra water meant the dam's emergency spillway was called into action for first time in a half a century. That's what Charles told me. And a gaping chasm in the main spillway has disrupted the flow of water, which prompted the flooding fears. And this thing, it's like this. You guys, when I was a kid, we used to do this all the time. We had a canal, which I talked to you guys about, which ran beside the house. And the canal basically had a whole bunch of sand and everything else, and we could build floodways and damways, et cetera. And once you breach the dam a little bit and that water starts pushing that dirt, it'll open up that dam within minutes. It's that much water, that much pressure coming in behind us. So, yes, this is a very, very real problem. It's the largest dam in the United States, bigger than the Hoover Dam, and it could be a catastrophic problem for California in the Sacramento area, Austin, if this thing actually collapses. And so I don't know how they're going to stop it at this point, because it's already starting to undermine the foundations of the dam, unless they have some type of emergency way of doing it, because I'm looking at the pictures right now. It looks pretty bad, bud.
Well, I mean, it's definitely not a good situation at all. But, you know, the arrogance that we've seen from California over the last couple months, you know, it doesn't surprise me with stuff like this. You know, I mean, when you start having that extreme arrogance towards everybody, that you're better than everybody, and now it's ironic. I mean, it's not funny at all. The situation's not funny. But it's ironic now California's asking for Trump's help after all the repeated attacks and belligerent behavior that they've supported and spewed towards him over the last year and a half. After repeatedly attacking and criticizing President Trump, the state of California is officially asking for his help, and they have a short run of resources in wake of severe weather. Governor Jerry Brown has asked President Trump to declare a major disaster for California because of the January storms. Brown says the storm system is so severe and widespread that state and local governments need federal assistance to continue dealing with the problems. Now, also remember, just back March of last year, Governor Brown said if Trump were elected, we will have to build a wall around California to defend ourselves from the rest of his country. So, like I said, I feel sorry for a lot of the people that are being involved in this, because that's a really, really rough situation. But as arrogant as they've been over the last year, it doesn't surprise me when stuff like this happens, Dad.
It doesn't bother me at all. The only thing that bothers me about all of this stuff is all the false flags that we've had.
And yeah, I'm hoping that was my first start about it.
Yeah, I'm just hoping this isn't, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the news right now. And so I'm not sure exactly what's going on with all of this stuff, because, you know, quite frankly, there's a lot of stuff going on with the Supreme Court, a lot of stuff going on with Korea, a lot of stuff going on with Afghanistan and Russia and with Syria and all of this stuff. And to me, every time that there seems to be some major event happening, it always seems to take the event away. I don't know. Maybe because Jeff Sessions is in it now. Maybe because everything's going on. I have no idea what's happening, Austin. But maybe they're trying to avoid, you know, a lot of media coverage if they start arresting all these people from Pizzagate and all these child traffickers up in Washington. I don't know. I have no idea because this is some weird stuff that's going on, and I don't know why in the world this dam hasn't been maintained properly. So we'll see what happens pretty quickly. So what's your next story, bud?
Yeah, well, that was my thought, too, because every time we always see something like this, the obfuscation begins immediately. Well, this is an article that I pulled up earlier. You actually sent it to me, and it was quite egregious, the fact this is happening. But we're seeing it happen on a widespread scale in Europe and a lot of it in the United States and Canada, yet it's very rarely getting any significant media coverage. A 39-year-old man was charged in connection with six sexual assaults that occurred at the West Edmonton Mall World Water Park over the weekend. Samam Hajid Samam, a Syrian refugee and father of six, is being charged with six counts of sexual assault on a minor and six counts of sexual interference. He's a Syrian refugee who arrived in Canada in January 2016. Police were called to the water park around 10:30 p.m. Saturday. Officers said a man inappropriately touched multiple teenage girls while they were swimming at the water park. All of the girls were under the age of 16. It now is to a total of six girls that he apparently has assaulted. And this is the garbage that the Muslim media wants to spew all over this. Mahab Huq, who's the executive director of Islamic Family and Social Services, says he's worried that revealing the accused refugee status will unfairly vilify an entire community. Huq says the case is being used to incite fear of new immigrants. Oh, I wonder why, because a lot of them get involved in this. Huq said, get this is the best part of this idiot's comment. He said, the suspect's immigration status is not relevant to the crime, and the journalist had a duty to keep those details out of the coverage. There you go again, guys. Right from the Muslim globalist propaganda piece. Don't know what's going on. Don't talk about what's going on. Don't act like anything's going on. The Muslim refugees are here because it's a peaceful religion. They don't incite violence. They don't butcher people. They don't decapitate anybody. It's the most peaceful religion in the world. That's what they always try to spew all the time, Dad. But that was pretty egregious what happened up in California. And guys, you know, this isn't one girl's horrific, but it wasn't like, okay, he said, she said. There's six individual girls that filed charges against him on this. Now, that's not hearsay. That's not he said, she said. This guy blatantly was involved in this in the pool. So I don't understand why these liberals, except for the fact that they're trying to further push this globalist agenda to destabilize our economy, our morals, and our country with the sadistic Muslim ideology they want to push on everybody. But I'm sick of it. I cannot believe that thing got blocked last week. We already talked about that in detail, Dad. But yeah, what happened up in Canada over the weekend was pretty sad to me.
You know, I saw a Facebook article post this morning from a girl who was fairly good looking, probably in her early 30s, late 20s, dressed in camo. What struck me was that she was very, very articulate. And she had like 25,000 followers, and somebody from Canada had contacted her and asked her to please, please, please tell the people in America what's going on here in Canada. Now, what was interesting about this is, and I sent you the link, I've had a chance to watch it, it's a little bit long-winded, and I don't really want to promote it because this girl gets really out of hand with language. She starts, it just turns into a big, how many F-words can I possibly use in a single sentence, because she was so angry. Now, everything she was saying is probably true, and I've actually looked up some of the information she was saying, and what she said was true, including what happened in Canada over the weekend. But what's interesting to me about this is, she was talking about the Muslim culture, and she started talking about how slavery is still legal in the Muslim culture, which it is, because Muhammad had slaves. And so what they're doing in that respect is they're pretty much helping the Muslims to, how should I say, cover all of the slavery stuff up. Muhammad had slaves, and they are still selling people in chains and walking them down the sidewalks. They're having slave auctions in England now and in the areas where they're under Sharia law in London. I mean, this is what they do when they come into a culture because they don't have a problem with slavery, especially with women. The problem I have is the underage sex that they're having with young girls. And I can't document this particular incident that she talked about on the show and on the tape that she did today but she was talking about a man who was a Christian now who had been a Muslim, and he was in England, and he had had a high-ranking official come in, a cleric, basically a priest in their religion, come to his home that everybody knew, and he had several daughters in his house, and he basically was asked by this cleric, this Muslim priest or whatever they call themselves, to marry one of his daughters for the night temporarily so he could have sex with these virgins, with one of them. And he chose a very young one, I mean like under the age of 5. And the guy allowed him to do this while his daughter screamed all night. And he said after this happened, he basically had enough of this, and he basically converted to Christianity, and he was done with it. Now, it takes a pretty special place in hell for somebody like this, as far as I'm concerned, to do this to a young child. I loathe pedophiles. I've told you guys, when I was 14 years old, I had a pedophile who lived in one of the cottages on my mom's property. His name was Fred Sickle. You know, he's long gone and dead now. And he put his hand on my leg. I remember he took me to a movie one time because I didn't have a dad. They like to prey on young boys who don't have dads. But I was like 8th or 9th grade, so I was pretty big already. And he kind of put his hand on my leg, and I immediately picked it up and told him, move your hand, buddy. Don't touch me again. I'm about to knock you out. And I immediately knew what he was all about. He was a sexual pervert. Now, he was in his 60s. Now, this Muslim cleric who had done this to this young girl, he was also in his 60s. Now, I don't know what in the world they get off on stuff like this for, because they're a bunch of sickos. But this has got to stop. And this culture is not compatible with Christianity. They're slave culture with women. They're treating of women like they're cattle. All of this stuff is not okay. That's what absolutely blows my mind with these feminists, these lesbians, these Hillary Clintons of the world. They promote this Muslim agenda, in which the Muslim agenda takes away the very freedoms that they've been given in this country to promote their Muslim agendas. None of it makes any sense to me at all. By the way, here's another article. Muslims are sexually enslaving children all over the globe. The sexual predation of 1,400 children in England is the tip of the iceberg. As shocking as the Muslim sex ring is in Rotherham, England, may seem to some, 1,400 British children as young as 11 are plied with drugs before being passed around sexually, abused in cabs and kebab shops. The fact is that this phenomenon is immensely widespread in the United Kingdom alone. It's the fifth sex abuse ring led by Muslims to be uncovered. Some years back in Australia, a group of Lebanese Muslim youths were responsible for a series of brutal gang rapes of Anglo-Celtic teenagers. A few years later, in the same country, four Muslim Pakistani brothers raped at least 18 Australian women, some as young as 13. Even in the United States, a gang of Somalis, Somali being a Muslim nation where non-Muslims, primarily Christians, are ruthlessly persecuted, was responsible for abducting, buying, selling, raping, and torturing young American girls as young as 12. I mean, this crazy stuff that's going on, this is an article by Abraham Ibrahim, I-B-R-A-H-I-M, is just something that the mainstream media is absolutely refusing to talk about, Austin. And I think the reason for that is this pedophilia, this raping of young children, is so widespread in Washington and so intrusive into our lives from a leadership standpoint, when these people in Washington are involved with so much of this along with the media, that they really don't want a bright spotlight being shined on the types of cockroaches they really are and how horrible these people are and what they're willing to do. Because quite frankly, as the Muslims get larger and larger in the community, as they get bigger and bigger, they start, you know, and we talked about this a few months ago, they constantly, if it's under 2% of the population, it's usually okay. But once it starts going up higher and higher and higher, they start demanding more and more and more rights, particularly Sharia law, until finally they're able to convert that very country that they escaped to from their hellhole into another hellhole. So it's really interesting to me, son, that these things are continuing to go on, that the people in Germany are completely and totally clueless. This past week, I sent one of my German relatives, his name is Jürgen, and I sent him one of the articles on Angela Merkel and how she was done in Germany, and there was no way she was coming back or getting reelected because there's a huge movement for nationalism in Germany, just like there is in the United States. Well, there are people in Germany, when you start talking about nationalism, the only thing that pops up in their words is the six-letter word Hitler, because that's what Hitler was. He was a nationalist, and it was Germany first. That's why we're seeing these constant images of Donald Trump, you know, wearing swastikas now in the cartoons because everybody's trying to compare him to Hitler, which is complete and total nonsense. We covered that last Wednesday on our show in detail, and I covered it again. I ran that same show on Sunday night if you've missed that. So the thing here is this. My cousin in Germany, great guy, probably 45 to 50 years of age, has three young girls there. Wonderful man. He's an executive in the area. I mean, he's absolutely brilliant. And the problem is, he doesn't have a huge Muslim intrusion into his neighborhoods or in his family at this point. So he doesn't see it as a problem because it's in the major cities in Germany. And he also sees a major problem happening with nationalism, and he personally thinks that Donald Trump belongs in kindergarten. Well, quite frankly, I sent him a pretty scathing email back. Hopefully I didn't burn another bridge in Germany. And I told him, I said, look, I said, here's the thing. The reason that people like Donald Trump in the United States is that he tells the truth. He told us what he was going to do when he was running for office. He's actually one of the only politicians that I've ever heard of or actually listened to that's actually trying to do what he said he was going to do, particularly the first couple of weeks of his office. I mean, he's put his whole family on the back burner as far as his wife and his young child, Barron. Everything is on back burner. I mean, his wife, Melania, is not even living in the White House until after the school year is over with because Donald is so busy. The other night I heard him speaking, and he was so exhausted he could barely hold his head above the podium, and his voice was raspy from all the other speeches and meetings that he had been in. So this man is a workaholic. We have him working for us in the United States now. Is he perfect? I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Trump's not perfect. Nobody's perfect except for Jesus Christ. He's the one that came for us, shed his blood for us, and has redeemed us. He's the one who did all of that stuff for us. So all we can do is hope for a man who will do what he says he's going to do. Now, quite frankly, this Muslim scourge has to be stopped. This media non-covering of this has to be stopped. The media has to be brought back to heel to be tell the people the truth. We have to basically re-regulate the media. I hate to say regulation because I don't like regulation, but it has to be re-regulated so that not one entity can control all the media. We have five or six corporations that control 95% of the media in the United States, and that's why our show is growing so fast and other alternative talk shows are growing so fast for those shows that speak the truth. Guys, if you think it's okay to have sex with a child under the age of 5, there's something wrong with you. And guys, I'm talking to you now, Muslims. I'm talking to you guys. If you think it's okay to have sex with a little girl under the age of 5, you need to be taken out back and beat to an inch of your life. In fact, you probably need to be hung, if not castrated. Now, doggone it all, this stuff makes me so mad, Austin. I cannot believe there are people out there that are this perverted. And let me tell you something. You touch one of my girls, you got a recompense coming. You got a problem. If you got that deep black hole in you that you can't fill and you got this little kind of stuff to little girls, you're a sicko is all I got to say. And quite frankly, and I'd never speak this over my cousin in Germany, if something happened to one of his daughters, God forbid, he would have a completely different attitude about all of this. Guys, we shouldn't have to be in a situation where we have to personally experience some horrible thing for us to wake up and realize, hey, it's not okay to screw little girls that are under the age of 5. There's nothing okay about that. It's messed up in the head, you sicko! So I don't know what to say about any of this stuff except for all of this stuff has to be brought to the forefront and we have to talk about it. I try never to talk about this stuff on my show because it's so negative. But guys, after I listened to that lady this morning on Facebook, I got so aggravated I thought, I got to cover this stuff right now and I got to let these guys know in case no one bothered to tell them or somebody dropped them on their head when they were 2. I have no idea why they think that type of behavior is okay and why they still think putting girls in slavery and with chains is okay, Austin. None of it's okay, bud.
No, it's not at all. And we've seen with this whole refugee program, it's been one giant scam to increase the amount of Muslims that we bring into this country. Whistleblower Mary Dulch, an ex-State Department official and refugee coordinator, detailed reasons why President Trump's refugee and travel ban was not only correct and necessary, but needed to be expanded. This was last week she released this. She started off saying, I fully support Donald Trump's executive order that halts admission from the U.S. refugee program and bans travel from nationals of countries that pose a risk, goes through exactly what he did. Then she goes on to say, further, I believe there are many people throughout the country who feel the same way. As I, a recently retired 25-year veteran of the U.S. Department of State who served almost 8 years as a refugee coordinator throughout the Middle East, Africa, Russia, and Cuba, I have seen firsthand of the abuse and fraud that permeate the refugee program, and I know about the entrenched interests that fight every effort to implement much-needed reform. Despite claims of enhanced vetting, the reality is this. It is virtually impossible to vet an individual who has no type of official record, particularly in countries compromised by terrorism. U.S. immigration officials simply rely on the person's often rehearsed and fabricated testimony. I have personally seen this in hundreds of occasions. If you guys remember back in 2015, FBI Director James Comey testified before the House Homeland Security Committee in October, stating that proper vetting of vet refugees was virtually impossible. Yet these liberals are so brain dead, they actually think this is something that's plausible, that you can vet individuals that are coming from a country with no social security, no driver's license, no passport, no background, and we're just bringing them in the country. Ms. Doetsch went on to say, she goes, for example, the legally questionable resettlement of refugees from Malta to the United States grew substantially, despite the fact that as a European country with a functioning asylum system, refugees should have remained there until the internationally accepted concept of the country of first asylum. The reason why she's saying this is because there are so many other surrounding countries to these Middle Eastern countries that can take in millions of refugees, and they refuse to do so. Saudi Arabia pledged that they would take in 100,000 refugees. That's what they said they would do. That giant, unbelievably wealthy country of Saudi Arabia said they would take in 100,000 refugees. To date, from what I have found, they've taken in 17 refugees. 17 refugees, and they're right down the road from Syria, one of the wealthiest Middle Eastern countries in the world. So what's wild about this is that everybody wants to go, oh, we need to take in hundreds of thousands of more refugees here, yet we don't need their culture here. This culture has never been acceptable of Islam. Nobody likes it here, but the media, the school systems, all this stuff is slowly starting to make everybody accept it. And now, if you teach it in school, you don't even have to give out a permission slip to the parents anymore. There's another school, I think it was up in Connecticut, I saw the article on it earlier, on these kids were learning the five pillars of Islam and learning different verses in the Quran and getting quizzed on the whole thing. And parents were outraged. They said, why are my kids learning Islam? I don't want them to learn Islam. You guys didn't ask me that. They don't need to know anything about it, except that it's not a peaceful religion. Exactly the opposite. They were actually teaching them in school that it's a religion of peace. The only thing it promotes is peace. Yes, that is absolutely right, when they're only 1-2% of the population, like Dad said. Once they start escalating up to 5, 10, 15%, all the way up, once they start getting half of the population, you can forget peace. You can see genocide and executions on anybody that's not Islamic. That's exactly how they operate in every single country that they overtake in every incident throughout history. All you have to do is do the research on it.
Well, and on top of that, you have to realize, even they believe they're going to have nirvana or perfect peace when the entire country is Muslim, and the Muslim countries around the world that have 100% Muslim population, the Sunnis kill the Shiites. They don't even like each other. I mean, they never reach peace because it's a warrior group of people, because the Shiites say the Sunnis aren't doing this right, and the Sunnis say the Shiites aren't doing this right, and they get back and they want to kill each other. It's like Christians killing Christians. I mean, it's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. And the sad part about it is a lot of people are coming and getting converted in prisons, in the prison systems in the United States, and coming out and then starting their own little enclaves. And all of this stuff is building and building and building gradually, kind of like this slow frog thing that we've talked about so many times in a boiling pot of water. And see, this is what's happening with all of these cultures in Europe. It's coming in and destroying it. But and not to stop with the Muslims, let's start with this one. Black Lives Matter co-founder appears to label white people defects. This is by Anthony Fury. It's out of Toronto. A co-founder of Black Lives Matter Toronto argued that white people are recessive genetic defects and purportedly mused about how the race could be wiped out, according to a post on what appears to be her Facebook page. Yersi Kugali has faced increased scrutiny over the past year after BLM Toronto gained political influence following the disruption of the Toronto Pride Parade and confrontations with Ontario Premier Kathleen Wynne. On Friday, Toronto police announced they would not participate in this year's upcoming parade. This has been a longstanding demand of BLM Toronto, and one of the board pride of Toronto recently backed in a controversial vote. But she's saying that the white people are a defect. effect. Unbelievable. And that they could be wiped out. She goes, white people are recessive genetic defects, and this is factual, the post reads towards the end. White people need white supremacy as a mechanism to protect their survival as a people, because all they can do is produce themselves. Black people simply, through their dominant genes, can literally wipe out the white race if we had the power to do so. Who talks like this? What the heck is wrong with these people, Austin? Pardon, the co-founder and founder of Black Lives Matter. We're gonna, how would they feel if one of the top talk show hosts starts saying, the blacks and the Mexicans are recessive traits and we need to wipe them out because they've got problems. Who says stuff like that? I mean, these people are racist to the core. They believe they're genetically superior, the guys who are involved in all this stuff, and they're a bunch of weirdos. I mean, Austin, can you believe these sickos say this stuff? And more than that, can you believe they actually believe it? I mean, what do you think? Unbelievable.
Well, the wildest aspect of it is how unbelievably hypocritical everything is, even with journalism and media now, because you're absolutely right. If any type of any white host, anybody, even Hispanic, honestly, if they even started saying anything like this, they would more than likely get eviscerated. But with the Black Lives Matter movement that's gotten so much publicity in the last couple of years and essentially has been untouchable, they've turned in an untouchable Nazi group is what they really are. They're a terroristic organization. There's been multiple organizations who already classified them as that. As far as what they engaged in, their mantra that they talk about, this type of propaganda that they spew, they're a terroristic organization. Yet they won't even be addressed in the media as anything other than mild protesters. This is what is going on with the media. That's why we talked about it in so many instances, that's the biggest thing, or not the biggest thing, but one of the things we have to get control of again is the media. Because as long as the media can put their spin, as long as they can demonize the Trump-supporting neo-Nazis for not wanting refugees to come into their country to rape and pillage this country, and they can sit there and justify people burning down cars and lighting fires at a college because they didn't want to have a speaker come in, as long as they continue to do that, they're going to manipulate a large portion of the population that watches the mainstream media. There's no other way around it. That's why the media is so important for the globalists to get a handle on. That's why they've made sure that it's one of the biggest things that they've controlled now on almost every single level. Now, on another topic here, this is pretty wild up in Connecticut again now. More gun rights completely being eroded in this state. Ever since Sandy Hook, the right to own a firearm in Connecticut has pretty much been, it's been blacklisted, boy. I mean, you want a firearm in Connecticut, you're a terrorist child killer. That's basically how they look at you. Even though, my whole opinion, from what I've seen, that whole Sandy Hook shooting was so full of holes, it should have been called the Swiss cheese shooting. It was ridiculous. But now gun owners now will see a huge increase in just basic permit fees because the state needs to raise millions of dollars to help combat its two-year, $3.6 billion deficit. This is, again, guys, when you start having these socialistic states and the liberals start running them up there, they have a $3.6 billion deficit. As part of his budget, Malloy is proposing the increase to state proportion of the pistol permit fee from $70 to $300. He's also proposing the cost of the initial five-year pistol permit fee to $370. Now, these aren't just concealed weapon permits. You actually have to get permits as well to buy a handgun in the state of Connecticut. An increase in fee for gun owners will bring in another $9 million to combat the $3.6 billion deficit. Additionally, Malloy is proposing to increase background checks to $75 now, just for a basic background check. He said it'll bring in another $2.6 million to help with their deficit. And again, guys, this is exactly what happens. The same thing out in California. When you let these liberal yee-yees get a hold of the budget and they start giving away hundreds of millions of dollars a year in state aid to all kinds of people that don't need it, don't deserve it, and shouldn't even be getting it, you start seeing these states have this exact problem. Billions and billions of dollars in deficit to where the government has to come in and help fund them all the time. Just like in California now, as they pitched a fit about Donald Trump, now they're begging for federal aid after this whole thing with the dam now. It's exactly what we see in all these states that get run by these liberals, Dad.
You know, the thing about it is $3.6 billion are going to raise $10, $12 million increasing
product
fees.
Exactly.
No, all they're trying, that's not even a drop in the bucket. That's nothing. And so what's crazy about this is they can't operate in the red for extended periods of time, and they've got to realize that. The social welfare programs of these liberal states are basically burying them into a deep, deep pit. A lot of this is exactly what happened with Abraham Lincoln with the northern states, with the southern states. The southern states were so wealthy because of their cotton and their exports into England and into Europe that they were running huge surpluses. And when they said they wanted to get rid of the United States and basically leave the Union, Lincoln knew that's where the money was. He knew that they were the ones that were there to help him to rebuild the infrastructure in the upper portion of the United States, because it was already beginning to fail because it had been around for hundreds of years at that point. See, this is what people don't understand. It was more of an economic thing that Lincoln did as far as refusing to allow the southern states to leave. It had very, very little to do with slavery. It's all a question of states' rights. And I'm like you, Austin. I find it completely ironic that California is about to bust a dam, and now they're basically begging for help from the federal government because they don't want to have this happen. But the reality is they didn't want to have anything to do with the federal government just a few weeks ago, and they wanted out. Now, this is what they need to realize, is that when things happen, when we're bound together as states, when we're bound together as a nation, you know, I don't mind sending money to another state that's a good state, that's trying their best to be part of the United States to help them in times of national emergency. I have no problem with that at all. We see that all the time with hurricane disaster relief, when we had it in Mississippi and we had it in Louisiana, we've had it in Florida, and the federal government comes in and helps. That's what we're supposed to be for. If we get attacked as a state, the federal government comes back in and protects us. All of that's supposed to work together. But this overreaching power of the federal government that we've had since Abraham Lincoln is absolutely horrific. And it's got to stop. And Donald Trump knows that. That's why he put that picture of Andrew Jackson in his office, because he's letting the globalists know, I've had enough of this. Because Trump's a very, very smart guy. He comes across as kind of redundant in some of the things that he says when he speaks, but he's doing that to make specific points. He's not a multi-billionaire because he's an idiot. I mean, he's a very smart guy, and he knows how the game is played. That's why I'm really glad that we have him in and not another career politician. By the way, The Sun has reported there's been another satanic murder in Mexico, in which three teens have now been arrested after a half-naked girl who is 15 years old is killed in a suspected satanic ritual. Guys, this is just one of the literally tens of thousands of these cases, because the vast majority of these cases go completely unreported. Whatever happened down there with Scalia in that ranch in Texas, that was some sick stuff. That's a sick place with all the weird statues they have everywhere. Now, I've covered that in detail and what was going on down there, so I'm not going to get redundant on today's show. But this entire weird stuff that these weird globalists do, you've got to remember something. As long as you try to think like a Christian and try to understand what they do, you're never going to have an understanding of how deep this perversion and this sickness goes. These guys are not Christians. They have not been trained to turn the other cheek. They've been trained to basically do it unto others before they do it unto them. Basically, what they want to do is hose everybody as quickly as they possibly can before they personally get hosed. And the reason I'm saying this is because it's true. That's their mantra. They look at us as cattle, as sheep to be led to the slaughter, and they want us basically to be their slaves. That's what this entire global tracking system using Morgellons and smart dust is all about. This weekend we had a meeting, in fact on Friday, with one of the national engineering firms that's actually involved in helping the Department of Transportation in developing the onset of the driverless car program. And we sat there for an hour and we went into detail with multiple links that we sent to these guys to let everybody know that this whole thing's a surveillance grid that's getting set up, because they want everybody back into that feudal system of slave labor. Back in the old days, if you watched the movie Rob Roy, which is an excellent movie, it's got some pretty graphic scenes in there about a lady getting raped, but you know, it doesn't show a lot, but it's pretty graphic. You gotta watch it. I won't let the kids watch it. But if you watch the movie Rob Roy with Liam Neeson, he actually is basically charged for doing something he didn't do, that he was set up. And then the nobleman rides up on a horse and says, "Is this him?" "Okay." And he goes, "Well, I'm innocent." He goes, "Hang him! No trial. No trial. Hang him." That's it. In Japan, in China, they don't care if you're one of the peasants and you're out there on the street and you're practicing yoga or you're doing whatever. They get mad at you. They'll lock you up in one of their institutions and wait for a proper match. Blood type comes in. They'll start taking your organs out. They don't care. This is what happens with a totalitarian state. This is what happens when you have people like Stalin or Lenin and all these other people that can just murder people at will. Even Hitler killed a lot of people. All of these people, when they give them absolute power, they basically take absolute power to kill whoever they want to kill, and there's no repercussions. We've got to understand that this is where they're going. This is where they're trying to take us, and they've had a huge, huge setback with Donald Trump. Because finally, and we talked about this in detail on Friday, if you missed Friday's show, you've got to hear Friday's show. They've had the Bush crime cabal had a massive, massive setback when Donald Trump took office. This Nazi Bush crime cabal that I've talked to you guys about literally dozens, if not hundreds of times over the past few years is a major, major mess. And I went into detail on that on Friday's show. I've had multiple emails come in and tell me that's one of the best shows that we have ever done was last Friday's broadcast. We played it all weekend. So if you haven't heard that show, you need to listen to it. Now, do I agree with everything I read in the articles that I read? Absolutely not. And in most cases, when I read those articles to you on Friday, I would say, I'm not sure about this, but I am sure about this. So guys, this whole crime cabal, which is running the drugs, controlling the government through the CIA, controlling the Air Force with all this chemtrail spraying that they've been doing, all of this is unraveling before our eyes because the power of Yahweh and Yeshua is above these guys, because every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And guys, as Christians, we're finally doing what we need to do, and we're getting together in the aggregate, and we're praying the way we need to pray, and we're going to change this fabric of time space that we currently live in, and we're going to get rid of these guys, and good Lord is going to give us a reprieve. Because Jesus said, not even he knew at that point in his existence on this planet what the final timeline was going to be, that only the Father knew that as far as the end times. Because guys, I think a lot of this stuff is basically written in stone, but we have to understand that we can influence these timelines by what we do and what we say, what we pray and what we believe, and we've got to do that as Christians, because if we do, we can literally get a reprieve from God Almighty. I believe that with all of my heart, and we can go on, and we can have a good place and a good country for our children and our children's children to live in, because I really believe, guys, that prayer changes everything. What do you think, Austin?
Absolutely right, it does. It absolutely does. Prayer and doing the best you can on your end and praying about it, like on the parts that you can't do. Well, what's wild is last week I saw the video. I didn't get to talk about it on Friday, but McCain and Graham are just bent on trying to start World War III. There's a video that just leaked out on them inciting the Ukraine to attack Russia right before fighting started again last week on the border. Shooting started again. The video surfaced online last week with warmongers John McCain and Lindsey Graham are caught meeting with the Ukraine military, encouraging them to launch an offensive against Russia and restart hostilities, all while describing Russia as the aggressor. Lindsey Graham's speech stated, and I quote, "Your fight is our fight. 2017 will be the year of offense. All of us will go back to Washington and we will push the case against Russia. Enough of a Russian aggression. It is time for them to pay a heavier price." John McCain then came on there and said, "I believe you will win. I am convinced you will win, and we will do everything we can to provide you with what you need to win." So it seems like President Trump was right when he singled out these two senators on Twitter as warmongers looking for a way to start World War III. Dude, these guys are bad, bad news. Bad company, and they don't need to be involved in anything in Washington. They are definitely be classified as a swamp, in my opinion, and I really hope we can get those boys booted out of there, because they are bent as far as working for the globalists and igniting World War III, man.
No, Graham, I've said that repeatedly. Graham, it has to go, and so does McCain. I mean, Donald Trump and Graham and McCain are at war against the other, because Trump said, why in the world is he a war hero? Because he got captured. I mean, he called him out for that. You know, and then he basically confessed what he knew to the Viet Cong. Now, I'm going to stop you for a second. If I was being tortured, I would not be a good person to torture, because I would just tell them, hey, look, before you torture me, I know you're going to get what you want anyhow. Let me go ahead and just tell you what I know before you torture me. Because quite frankly, I don't want to get tortured. I mean, that's how that works. And I mean, that's the problem with these people who come in then and say, well, I'm a war hero now. Well, no, it's okay. I mean, you got tortured, you got something happened to you, and you told what you knew. Okay, that's all right. Now, the Germans, what they would do, they'd have a cyanide tooth in many cases in their mouth. If they got captured before they got tortured, they would bite into that cyanide capsule. They'd kill themselves rather than be tortured. Because, guys, you know, I can't even imagine being tortured the way they torture these people, these satanic rituals and all the stuff they do. That's some pretty sick stuff. So, guys, Lindsey Graham is a weirdo, okay? He walks around carrying a purse. We already know that, and a lot of us already think he's probably a closet homosexual, which that's okay. I really don't care. That doesn't affect me one way or the other. But the fact that he acts like he does and doesn't come out and own it is kind of a surprise to me. Now, as far as McCain, he's like you said, Austin, he's just a warmonger. That's all he is. And
yeah.
Quite frankly,
oh, yeah,
he's really upset that they haven't allowed him and they haven't given him the nod to be president. And he's doing everything he can to basically undermine Donald Trump because Donald Trump's calling him out like he has. Now, let's change topics real quick. The CDC, the World Health Organization, and Big Pharma have been openly collaborating to conceal the vaccine autism link data from the public. This is an article from Galen from Knoll. And it says, new vaccines still cause autism, and our government knows that. Today in the U.S., a growing number of other countries, the official policy is that any scientific study, regardless of its methodology, quality, author credentials, or peer review process, is summarily dismissed as incomplete, irrelevant, or unsupported if it finds any connection between a vaccine or combination of vaccines and autism spectrum disorder. This is a very good article, by the way. Even when the CDC's own immunologist, Dr. William Thompson, blows the whistle and provides thousands of pages of scientific data and research proving the vaccine autism connection, the matter is rapidly shoved under the table. In the case of Dr. Thompson's release of confidential documents to a congressional subcommittee, the CDC intentionally concealed their evidence that African American boys under the age of 36 had a much higher risk of autism after receiving the MMR vaccine. The documents also proved that the CDC has known for a long time that the neurological tics indicating brain disturbances were associated with thimerosal-containing vaccines such as the influenza disease. This article goes on to talks about how doctors have discovered deadly levels of mercury in childhood vaccine. The FDA is hiding it. That is leaked that GlaxoSmithKline documents are adverse vaccine effects associated with autism. The vaccine autism link denial dependent on compliant U.S. mainstream media. They have to continue to have the media control the distribution of information because, like I told you earlier in the show, 95% of the media is controlled by these large corporations, these large banks, this Rothschild satanic cartel that we have, and they're basically not wanting to tell us the truth about the poison they're giving our children. Also, the U.S. vaccine court has paid over $3 billion out of families who've been injured. Okay, so much of it doesn't cause a problem, right, guys? And during World War, vaccines with thimerosal were required to be labeled as poison. During the Second World War, I'll repeat it, vaccines with thimerosal were required to be labeled as poison. And can deniers of thimerosal toxicity stand up to cold, hard scientific facts? The answer is absolutely no. It's mercury. It's a neurotoxin. In vivo, which means laboratory inside of a petri dish, thimerosal vaccine studies conducted at the University of Pittsburgh showed highly toxic to neural tissue. Neuroscientists in Houston observed thimerosal directly linked to brain cell death. Australian study, vaccinated mothers transfer ethyl mercury to unborn embryo into the fetus, causing neurological impairment. National Library of Medicine lists 2,000 references about aluminum's toxicity to humans. 1997 New England Journal of Medicine reports aluminum neurotoxicity in preterm infants. Extreme toxicity of aluminum adjuvant contributed to Gulf War illness. This list goes on and on with childhood vaccines and Tylenol risks. According to the WHO, the U.S. ranks 39th in the health with autistic disorder reaching 1 in 50, some say 1 in 40 now. We do not have a democracy. We are living under a medical tyranny. This is an excellent article. You guys need to read it. But guys, listen to me. If you want to keep your kids healthy, you keep them on vitamin D3. You keep them on potassium iodine. You keep them on vitamin C on an ongoing everyday basis. And you make sure they get a good vitamin multiple supplement. If you can't get in the multiple to get them to swallow pills, we have an excellent multiple vitamin that's a powder form at Health Masters. It's a bit on the pricey side because of the natural ingredients and the beets that we use in it, but it works and it tastes great. You can mix it right in with water, mix it in with their food sometimes. They won't even taste it. They'll love it. And we've also got a really good magnesium product that actually tastes great that's powder also, so in case you can't swallow pills. So there's all kinds of natural things you can give those kids to keep those kids healthy without having to rely on toxic vaccines that don't work. And yes, you heard me say that. Toxic vaccines that don't work, or if they do work, it's minimal, and if they do work at all, it's not worth the risks associated with the side effects with these vaccines. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Austin?
Yeah, I got another research article that just got released this week by Jack Burns, but also too about that Ultimate Multiple Powder. I had a friend of ours that orders product from us, and he texted me up the other day, and he said, man, this Ultimate Multiple Powder, he goes, I have to be careful with it. He goes, it tastes so good. I've been using it more than I probably should have. I said, well, be careful. It's a strong formula. We have a lot of different minerals, nutrients, D3, everything in it. And he's like, yeah, I've been just using scoop after scoop. And I said, no, you only need a couple of them a day. That's it. He said, well, you guys did an incredibly good job with the taste on it. He said, it's probably the best multivitamin powder I've ever tried. And that was a big goal of that. And that's one of the things that was talking about as far as incurred a little bit more expenses, because we put a lot of time as far as in trying to get really, really good naturally occurring flavors and good ingredients that we could add to it to not make it taste like a really nasty multiple vitamin powder. Because I know everybody's tried this before. So have I. So have that. You know, it's an incredible multivitamin powder. It works great. You throw it in some water, you mix it, and you literally almost gag as soon as it touches your mouth. And you're like, golly, I got to drink that every day. That's horrific. That was one of the main goals we did not want to have happen when we built this product. We wanted something that you can mix in a gallon of water if you want, a shaker bottle, a protein shake, and all it's going to do is enhance the flavor in a positive aspect. And I think that's what we did with this product. I've been getting a lot of positive feedback on it. But back to the story I just talked about, researchers at Pennsylvania State and Yale University sought out to examine whether or not vaccinations are associated with increased incidences of OCD, anorexia, anxiety, ADD, bipolar disorder, all kinds of different stuff. Basically, the main disorders you hear about with the kids. So they started doing these different tests, and the study they used private insurance claim information as their means of collecting the data. They using claims data with comparing to the prior year's occurrence of vaccinations in children and adolescents ages 6 through 15 with the above neuropsychiatric disorders that were newly diagnosed between 2002 January and December 2007, the study writes. The researchers concluded that someone who received the flu vaccine within the last 365 days were associated with an incident diagnosed of AN, OCD, or an anxiety disorder. These findings greatly expand the common understanding that vaccines are related to autism and now include the other three brain illnesses. Moreover, the correlations were not limited to the flu vaccine. They also stated several other associations were also significant with HRs greater than 1.4, hepatitis A with OCD and hepatitis B with AN, meaning the hepatitis vaccines are also implicated in causing brain disorders. They went on to say this pilot analysis implies that the onset of some neuropsychiatric disorders may be related to prior vaccines in a subset of individuals. So it's like research after research after research, Dad. It's crazy because science and the government continues to state and demand everybody, no, you need your vaccine. They're absolutely safe. There's nothing wrong with them at all. There's no relation between autism or any type of other brain disorder. Not at all. No chance. Can't happen. And we've seen it over and over and over again. Like you just said, the CDC blatantly destroying evidence that proved the MMR was linked to vaccine. It doesn't have to be much more clear-cut than it's gotten now in the last couple of years that vaccines do have a significant side effect and toxic properties to them. And you really need to do your own research and evaluate them before you inject them in yourself or your children as well.
You know, I don't know how anybody can have a child and not question the efficacy of injecting a drug or a chemical into that child and do research on what it's going to do. When we worked so desperately, because we had problems with Sharon, because she had problems with infertility back in the 80s, because her mom had taken diethylstilbestrol when she was pregnant with Sharon, which is a female hormone which was given routinely to mothers back in the 50s when they were pregnant. And what it did, it gave us an entire generation of women who had problems conceiving and men who had problems with testicular cancer and women with ovarian cancer because of the diethylstilbestrol. We went through all of that and ended up with a fertility specialist. And I praise God that we have our four children now. But Austin, when you want a child so badly and you have problems having a child, you start doing research as far as prenatal nutrition, or at least we did, to try to find out the better and easier ways to get pregnant, which we've been able to help a lot of people with that now. And we also started doing the research on vaccinations back in the 80s before you were ever born. And that's when Dr. Mendelsohn, who wrote the book, Confessions of a Medical Heretic, and another book, How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician, who, by the way, he was a pediatrician. He was completely opposed to vaccines. And of course, he was silenced at a very young age. I personally think he was murdered. That's my personal opinion. They had to shut him up like all these NASA scientists and all these bioengineering scientists have all been killed, and there are literally hundreds of them dead now in the last 10 years, and they've all been murdered in strange circumstances with their death, and all of a sudden Mendelsohn dies. But we looked at all of the research after Sharon finally got pregnant with you, and we thought, you know, it's so difficult for us to have a child at this point. Why in the world are we going to take a chance of injecting him in something that can cause all of these horrible side effects? Now, remember, this is pre-internet days. This was pre-internet. This was hard paper that I had to go to the library and I had to do the research on to try to figure out what was going on, because even then it was starting to get a tick up on the autism scale and also the learning disability scale, especially with the Ritalin. And so I looked at it this way. I thought, well, I don't have to immunize Austin. You are a firstborn if I put him in the school system until he goes to the school system. So the first 4 years is completely off anyhow as far as immunizations, because I don't have to do that. So if I ever decide to put him into the school system, I can immunize him at that point when he turns five. It'll get him through his basically maturation years of 1 through 4 as far as brain development. Well, then we start doing more and more research on vaccines. And when you turn five, I told Sharon, I don't want to put him in the school system, because at that point in time, we were unaware of the vaccine exemption form that's available to you here in our state. And so I told Sharon, I said, let's go ahead and homeschool him, because we still didn't have any other kids. And I said, he's the only one we've got, so we've got to make sure we take care of him. But I continued to do more and more and more research, and I started working on that book, Maximum, it was on ADD, Autism, and Learning Disabilities. And I started working on that, and I started doing more and more research, and I thought, well, shoot, man, this has got so bad now, I don't even want to even take a chance of ever immunizing him. And then we went ahead and capitulated one time, and we got you a non-thimerosal shot that was going to be used for a for camp, because it was a tetanus shot, and you got deathly ill from it. You were like 12 years old. And I told Sharon, I said, that was awful. I said, we're done with that mess now. And so at that point in time, we already had the other kids, and we said, that's it for the other kids. We started having the other kids. Your brother was born when you were 10, and then 12, and then 14 through the fertility specialist. And so what we learned basically is this, you know, no on the vaccines. And I remember when you were 18 or 19, you were thinking about going into the Marine Corps. And I told you, I said, now, Austin, now you're 19 years old. You graduated with your bachelor's degree. You're a brilliant young man. I said, now, if you go into the Marine Corps, they're not going to put you in an active duty theater unless you get the vaccines, because as an officer, they told you they would exempt you, but that's what the recruiter said. We never had anything in writing from the higher ups. So I told you, I said, this would be your choice. I said, I'm not going to put you, I didn't do this to you for various reasons because of my beliefs. And I said, if you want to do this, it's entirely up to you. See, guys, here's the thing. Why in the world should you want to say to yourself, I wish I would have, or I wish I could do that over again. Would'haves and should'haves and could'haves. I mean, I could have not done that. I shouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I mean, the would'haves and the should'haves and could'haves, they haunt you for the rest of your life. You have a child that's been born who's completely healthy, and you vaccinate them, and all of a sudden you've got a child with autism, and you've got to deal with it. Then it's going to be, God, I wish I wouldn't have done that. God, I should have listened to those talk shows that talked about this. Oh, gosh, I wish I could do this over again. The would'haves and should'haves and could'haves, those are the things that will haunt you for the rest of your life. Guys, it's not necessary. Young children don't need vaccines. If you want to do it before they go to school, that's why I walked you through that entire parameter. That's why I told you about all of that stuff. Guys, I want you to know I love you. I appreciate you. I really, really do. I've got so many more stories, but we're almost out of time. I'm going to let Austin close the show. Thank you for supporting us at Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. And I apologize to you. Our supplier, I fussed at him. I said, we got to get the pricing down on this powdered multiple. And they said, well, we don't know what to do because you've made these ingredients so pure that we really don't have a choice. We'll try to resource them. So it's about $70 a can. It's expensive. Man, is it good. It tastes great. So if you can afford it, it's great for your kids. If not, we still have the chewable supplements and the ultimate multiple, which is phenomenal. So thank you for supporting us. Thank you for supporting the broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for loving us. And we love you guys. And I appreciate you so much. And you guys are just the absolute best. I appreciate you again. Love you. Again, Austin, go ahead and close, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Well, and this is kind of another ironic story now. If you guys saw with the TSA, a dozen airport and TSA employees have been arrested for their alleged involvement in a massive cocaine smuggling operation in Puerto Rico, the U.S. Attorney's Office announced today. The defendants are accused of helping smuggle approximately 20 tons of cocaine through Luis Monzon Marin International Airport over the last decade. The investigation was initiated by the TSA as part of an ongoing effort to target employee misconduct and reduce insider threats. The operation, though, found out later on that it involved employees smuggling suitcases through the TSA checkpoints at the airport and on the flights, with as many as 5 mules on some flights, with each mule checking 2 cases, checking 2 suitcases in some cases. So you're talking about literally 10 suitcases full of cocaine on a regular basis at any given time, getting traffic directly through the airport, contributing right to TSA. That's why I've always had a real issue with TSA. I've never liked them. I don't ever fly commercial anymore. I've only done it probably 3 times, I think, 3 or 4 times since TSA has been in the airports, and they're a joke. I can't take them seriously because they don't even hire legitimate people in those positions. It's not like you're dealing with lower on down FBI agents or even national security people. You're dealing with, like, just straight bobos that don't even know basic arithmetic that are told to follow orders and grope you for no reason. So I can't stand it. That whole agency needs to be disbanded. The TSA has yet to prevent one single real terrorist attack since they have been in position. The only things they've thwarted are FBI's allowing stuff to walk through and trying to get people to go through so they can bust them for it, like the FBI likes to do all the time, give fake bombs to individuals, give them fake detonators to individuals. Then when the individuals go to set it down somewhere and blow it up, they go, oh, surprise, we're FBI, you're going to prison now, you're going to jail for 25 years for terrorism, and you're like, well, dang, that's horrible. You know, maybe I thought it was a joke. I don't know. I'm just cutting up on that. But, you know, it is pretty wild when you see a lot of this stuff and the uselessness that it entails and the bloated budget that it incurs by doing so. But, guys, we appreciate everything. The GHI cleanse has been selling a ton. We have a whole pallet load that just came in recently of all the different flavors. We have the chocolate, mint, vanilla, GHI. All of them are in stock. So if you guys want to pick one up for product of the week and try it right now, or if you want to stockpile it for some of our customers that keep a lot of it on hand, really, really good product for that. It's on sale, I think, for over 10% off. So it's like 69 bucks a can. Yeah, $69.19 versus $77 what it is regular price. So check that out on the website, guys, healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, email us, call us, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a safe, blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.